Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Yesterday, we alluded a little bit to boredom, but we're going to spend a little bit more time talking about it today and much more time talking about it later this week.
Later this week, we're going to do some work on boredom.
You know, boredom often has such a negative...
That's right.
It leaves such a negative impression for people, but we're going to talk about it a little bit differently this week.
Right. In this country, probably as a species, we treat boredom as a negative. You know, if there's something wrong with boredom. We frequently have... parents are very concerned with when their young children appear to be bored. Mm-hmm. You know, she's bored. Or they go to school and they're not doing well in school. So, I think she's bored because she's too bright. The message we want to give is that boredom isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
Okay. So let's begin with that.
Do you think it's
premise.
A species thing, or do you think it's a 21st century, 20th
I think
century,
it's. I think it's a
thing.
Recent... I think it's recent. Yeah. I think as we stimulate, as we find more ways, and it's not because of video games or social media. Mm-hmm. This began long before concerns about boredom precede technology.
We were talking yesterday about
Blaise Pascal.
Pascal. Mm-hmm. And he certainly wasn't recent.
No.
And he talked about the same thing.
He preceded cell phones. And so...
Just a little bit.
A little. Even you preceded cell phones. Yeah, even you preceded cell phones.
That's right.
But no, we have this negative connotation about boredom, and I don't think it is. I think that in years, man, when I was little, my daughter's here. He goes. There's that smirk again. We got bored, and so I don't think it's. I think everybody has been
How
bored.
How could you guys have been bored with all those sticks in the yard?
And sticks and stones and animals to chase. In those days,
saber-toothed cats to watch out for.
Animals didn't chase people. People chased animals because there's something to do. But no, we were bored, of course. And I'm sure my father, who was born in 1912, I'm sure he was bored. But they accepted boredom as a normal part of their life. They didn't fight against it. And they just said, okay, I'm bored, so I'll go out and do something. And I think that's what we want to get to today is that boredom isn't a bad thing, but because it serves as a motivator.
Right.
It should serve as motivation to do something.
Right.
But like everything else in our life, it depends what kind of boredom you're experiencing.
Right.
So we talked about boredom in yesterday's podcast, and as we investigate boredom, we learn that there are different types of boredom, as with most other things that we talk about.
Sure.
And I think it's important to know what kind of boredom you're experiencing so that you know what to do about it.
Right. The underlying theme this week is has to do with being connected, not just with other people, but with yourself. And that, you know, yesterday we talked about, Pascal's perspective that we need to make sure that we are spending some time in silence and avoiding the noise and clutter of life. And today, you know, as we talk about boredom, again, and we're going to talk about boredom in much more detail, but we're going to talk about different types of boredom today. And depending on what type of boredom you're in, you're going to experience various levels of comfort or discomfort.
That's right.
And so that's why it's important to kind of reflect on that, because your subsequent behaviors are going to be dependent upon what type of boredom you're currently experiencing.
Yeah, it's important to know what kind of boredom you're experiencing. Boredom, you know, it's like depression or anxiety.
Right.
Or anything. It's like anxiety. We have different types. You know, it's just anxiety. What type of anxiety?
Right.
What are you anxious about?
And I had never really thought about boredom, different types of boredom in the way that this article presents it, because, you know, certainly we think of different kinds of boredom because people complain about being bored, and then there's a sort of a type of boredom that's often associated with depression.
Right, that's right.
That's very different. And but you know, I like the way that this author Jessica Leber kind of outlines five different types here that just is is helpful to think about.
That's right. Boredom hasn't really been studied for very long. Right. I think it goes back to the 70s, maybe, in early 80s, that people began to look at boredom in any systematic way. So it's not that it's a new phenomenon in the species, but it has only recently been the subject of systematic study.
Right.
And out of that study came this notion that, well, wait a minute, there are different types of boredom.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about
right.
those different types.
Yeah.
And they sort of go in the way that she presents them in order of probably significance, severity, negative severity.
Right.
So the first is indifferent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I feel about the names of the different types, because not only is it a little misleading, but it's a little uninformative.
Yeah, curiously, these names didn't appear until about 2006. Yeah. And that, there were four initially, and then they added a fifth in 2013. But the names and the explanations, I would have named them differently.
I would have named
okay,
them differently
all right.
Too.
So, but the first is indifferent.
Indifferent. Okay. And indifferent is, they said that it can also be referred to as relaxation and cheerful fatigue. And it's like, okay, wait, I think of indifference as very, very different.
I think of indifference, I don't care.
Right.
Okay. I don't care about it. Okay.
Right.
But they explain it. So when I saw the word indifferent, I just assumed that they were saying, okay, I don't care about this. It doesn't
right.
matter to me. I don't care about it. I don't care about politics, so I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Okay. I don't care about this topic, so I don't want to talk about it. That's not what they really...
Right. I think that what they're referring to here is an indifference to the boredom itself. Because their person's calm, the person's not in distress,
yeah,
they're
right.
just indifferent, they're bored, but they don't mind that they're bored. This is a calmness.
I think that's the key,
right.
is they don't mind. It's not a boredom that has
right.
any effect on you.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know why they call it cheerful fatigue. I mean, it's like, I guess I've experienced cheerful fatigue on occasion, but I never would have named it. But I think it's relaxed in the sense, you're right, the boredom doesn't bother me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm so indifferent to my boredom.
Indifferent to the boredom.
Okay.
But this is the maybe the more, I hate to say use this type of word, but the more positive side of boredom. This is a boredom that you're kind of comfortable with. This is a boredom that.
Are we talking about number two?
No, number one still
oh, okay.
indifferent.
Okay.
You're not. Again, you're calm.
You're
relaxed.
Right.
Those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, we start moving in a direction of some more unpleasant feelings,
right.
and this is called calibrating.
Right.
And this is where the person's who is bored is sort of having some wandering thoughts and really starting to think about how can I get out of this boredom.
But they're just thinking about it. And I think another point here is a level of arousal.
Right.
I think there's little arousal with number one. But in number two, you begin to get some arousal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not arousal to action,
right.
but at least you're thinking about it. And,
right.
I think they use the phrase, I threw my glasses on here, reduce boredom. What are my boredom reducing options?
Right.
So you start to think about what you might do. You're not going to do anything about it, but at least you're thinking about it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Calibrating
it.
Right.
Yeah. Number three is searching. And this is, again, kind of becoming a little bit more negative. And you're looking for, you're
right.
like actively now looking for something to do
right.
to get you out of this boredom.
Right.
So this is, there's this level of unpleasant restlessness that's,
mm-hmm.
that's set in
right.
that now you're looking for something to do. And so this, in a classroom, this would be, you know, a student who is getting up and they're talking to somebody else, and this is getting into some disruptive behavior.
Right. Asking to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Sharpening my pencil. You know, I'm just so bored that I have to do something.
Right.
Okay. And this is oppositional defiantism. Those are the kids
who would be called that. Yeah.
They talk out. They start squirming around. They start bothering other kids around them because they're under aroused.
Mm-hmm.
They're bored, and so they start to take action.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's searching. They're beginning the search.
Right. And then the last is the last of the original four.
Right.
Is reactant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of the highest level of arousal and negative emotions mm-hmm. here. And so this is the person who is in such a state of boredom
right.
that they are actively they have a strong motivation to get out of this situation.
There's a circumstance. There's a wonderful picture with this article of two girls, obviously sitting in a college classroom.
Yeah.
And one just looks completely disinterested, and the other has her head lying down on the desk.
Like she's asleep.
Like she's asleep, or she's like ready to die. Yeah. They are maybe calibrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can I do besides this? But they're not yet searching. They're not getting up out of their seats.
Right.
They're not really doing anything about it.
Right.
Okay. They're willing to sit there somewhere between calibrating and searching.
Right.
But they're probably just searching, probably thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Today, if you get bored, you typically go on the internet and start looking around for stuff. But you can see the boredom.
Right.
But they're not so highly aroused that they're going to do anything about it. So they're not at the searching stage.
Right.
But
and the searching stage, and then of course the reactant stage that follows, those are probably stages that people erect to prevent falling asleep.
That's right.
You know,
that's
we have to do something or else we're going to.
I say that when I do my talks, I talk about ODD. You and I are not big fans of ODD.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what research has said to us, shown us about kids with ODD, is that they happen to have under aroused nervous systems.
Right.
They have lower heart rate, lower cortisol. And so they have under aroused nervous systems. You're not allowed to sleep in school. You're not allowed to sleep in class. And so the brain says, you know, you're going to fall asleep if you don't get up and do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't stand up and move around or talk or do something. And I think many of these kids who get this diagnosis of ODD are simply under aroused. They don't mean to be disruptive or disrespectful, but they know they can't go to sleep, so they get up and move around while they're breaking rules. So now they become ODD.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And it may just be under aroused. But reactant is you're going to do something.
You're actively doing something.
You're motivated. Because, and what I like about this idea of boredom and motivation is that motivation is a function of deprivation.
Right.
And so the more deprived you feel, the more motivated you are.
Right.
So the higher your boredom, the more likely it is you're going to be motivated to do something about it.
Right. And before we get to the last one, I want to stop there because that, I think, is a critical point that we're going to touch on Saturday, later this week. We're talking about sort of the emotions related to the boredom itself.
That's
right. You know, how the person that's experiencing boredom feels about the boredom.
Right.
Okay. When you're in the reactant phase or the calibration phase or one of these other searching or something, the idea there could potentially be, I need to find something to do.
Right.
And so this, as you said, this could serve, this boredom could serve as a motivating factor.
Right.
And so it's not that boredom in these cases is like a horrible thing.
That's right.
Because this is a situation where boredom could serve as a driving force or as a triggering force to actually start doing something.
That's right. So, and the first question is, how bored are you?
Right.
You know, are you just bored?
Are you bored enough to get up and start
to do something? If you're a parent and your child isn't bored enough to do something, don't worry about it. That's low-level boredom.
Right.
It's not a problem. If your child is at level 4 or higher, then you may want to attend to it, whether you're an adult or a child. So know the type of boredom you're dealing with. You know, if it's just, I'm bored and I want to be entertained.
But if they're bored enough to where they're, you know, I think teaching people how to deal with their boredom so that when they get to the point of being reactant or searching, that they search for something more appropriate, more positive to be doing as opposed to, you know.
Yeah, and you can say it becomes a teachable moment again.
Right.
You know, you can say, well, sweetheart, you're just bored right now. So here are some of the things that people do when they're bored.
Right.
Not here's what you can do. Here's what some of the things that people do when they're bored.
Right.
But in 2013, we added a fifth.
And that one's called apathetic.
Apathetic.
And this is the one that I was referring to earlier when I was talking about depression.
Right.
The boredom associated with depression. And this is very unpleasant feeling, but it's also associated with low arousal. You were talking earlier about, you know, as we were getting through the first four, the person's brain is likely becoming more and more aroused.
That's
it's
right.
It's mm-hmm. wanting to be active. It's wanting to do something. Mm-hmm. Here we're getting to a really serious level of boredom, but the brain is not aroused.
That's
You know, so it's not looking for any escape. It's mm-hmm. just, and so we get into those issues of like learned helplessness
right.
and that kind of thing, because mm-hmm. this is my lot in life. I'm never going to be able to do anything different. And this is when we get into those depressive types of cognitions.
I think Eeyore had apathetic yeah. boredom.
I would think so, yeah.
Oh, woe is me,
yeah.
you know, and learned helplessness mm-hmm. and depression
right.
and those sorts of things that you become apathetic and you don't act.
Right.
That's another level of boredom that you right. need to be aware of.
Right. Yeah, so if you get to that level, that's, you know, certainly a time to look at for a professional.
Then you may want to get some help. Right.
Yeah. So, all right.
Well, there's ways of measuring your boredom.
That's true.
Okay, and it's really, they came up with this little system of numbers. And there's two numbers you need. One is whether it's associated with positive feelings or negative feelings.
Right.
Positive emotions or negative. So if you have if you're bored and you have a positive, that's a one.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a negative emotion, it's a five.
Okay.
So
right.
Is it producing a positive or negative emotion?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is how aroused am I?
Yeah.
If I'm very calm, it's a one. If I'm very aroused, it's a five. Fidgety,
yeah.
it's a five.
Mm-hmm.
So you take those two numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a one and a three,
right.
one is I'm okay.
Yeah,
and
positive.
I'm not terribly aroused. You're probably okay.
Right.
But use those numbers to gauge,
mm-hmm.
like oh, two and a one. What they say in the article is a two and a one. So two would be positive emotion,
yeah.
and one would be very low arousal. That would be indifferent.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So you can label your boredom by using those two numbers in some
right.
combination.
Yeah.
Neat way to do it. So if you the article is available. You can look it up.
Yeah.
Use those numbers. Figure out what kind of boredom you have or people around you have, and
yeah.
work from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a nice. It's really a good way to look at to think about boredom, because
mm-hmm.
we tend to think of it as a monolithic,
right.
as a singular entity.
Right.
And it isn't. It has these at least five types in various aspects.
Right.
So.
And it manifests differently in different situations.
That's right.
So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Certainly
right.
not a problem. Boredom can be a force for good.
Not a absolute problem.
That's
it's
right.
not always
That's
a problem. Sometimes right. it is, but not always.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.